getting a little worried. Carolyn told me earlier that she might not come to church today because she knew who the preacher was going to be. And she didn't show up till like 5 till 10. And I was thinking, maybe she was being serious. I have no idea. But I'm filling in for Pastor Andy this morning as he's on vacation. And to be in prayer for him and his family for safe travels. And my daughter Madeline is with them. So definitely be an extra prayer. You know? Mama's worried. She's like, call me every night, you know, have code words. Hey, if you need to, you know, use a code word, let us know, you know. If the Schellers are getting too much for you, you know, no, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding, Andy. I'm just kidding. These guys like, I'm not going to let him preach again. But this morning, I'm going to, that story, that testimony is going to kind of be a segue into what I'm going to be preaching and speaking on this morning. Carolyn had helped me email and text Carrie all the sermon material that I was going to be speaking on this morning. And I had a video that I was wanting to share, and it didn't resonate with me when I was preparing. I mean, at first I thought, man, this would be a great opportunity, a great intro for the message, and then it just wasn't settling in my heart. You know, you had that before, just doesn't settle. And I was like, okay, Lord, if you don't want this to happen, you don't want me to show this video, then fine. It was a great video, had a great point, a great message, but as soon as I got here, Carrie was like, yeah, I can't get it to play. And I was like, okay, well, then I'll kind of use something else. So that testimony right there is going to be kind of what I'm going to speak on a little bit this morning about our focus and not focusing, you know, on our problems. And that video, this guy had an air freshener, and I'm just going to kind of explain this video for a second. He had an air freshener in his car, and he had the video, or he had a picture. He took a picture of that air freshener, and then there was a car in the background outside of his car. And he said, which one is bigger, the air freshener or the car? And, of course, you look at the air freshener in the picture, and it looks bigger than the car outside. Is that true? No, that's not true. That car outside is bigger than the air freshener. But his whole point was this. He said, it's all about perspective, okay? And he said, you know, if we think about that spiritually in a spiritual sense, the closer we get to God in our perspective, the smaller our problems become. But if we focus, that was the Lord. If you focus on your problems and not God, your problems are going to be bigger than your God. Amen? So, come on, don't shout at me, you know, because I'm preaching here. So, I'm telling you, that really resonated with me because Pastor Andy and I, as you know, last week, he talked about the survey that the church took. And across the board, he went over the results with me in his office. We prayed last Monday, or actually it was the week before, and then I got with him again Monday talking about today's message. But we talked about it, and he was sharing with me the results. And, you know, across the board, and this is an awesome, awesome testimony to this church, but across the board, you guys scored above average, and he talked about it last week, of the national survey, spiritual survey that churches have taken in this nation. But the one thing that we wanted to focus on was the empowering of leadership, because that was the lowest. And empowering leadership. How do you empower leadership? So Pastor Andy was like, so what I want you to talk about as we are kicking off this series is intimacy with God. And, you know, I've shared my heart with him about my intimacy, my relationship with the Lord, and about where the God has taken me, especially in the last 3 years. You know, since COVID, you know, because, you know, as well as I do, the world got hit and everybody stopped. And, you know, God doesn't give us the spirit of fear, but of what? Power, love, and sound mind. And that's really what we're going to dive into this morning and the vision of the church as we move forward in discipleship. Pastor Andy had sent me a text. And I looked at it, and this is what happens, and Carolyn gets on to me all the time. I mean, praise the Lord, God has blessed me with a wonderful wife who keeps me in check all the time. Not only that, he's blessed me with 3 daughters that keep me in check all the time. Come on, Dad. you know, and I'm blessed with that. And Lydia, being a proud moment, your dad moment, Lydia is my daughter, and she did power through last week. She didn't want to be here, but she did power through that. So I praise God for that. And Mama's doing something right. I mean, we're doing something right, and God shows us that through our children. But he sent me this text, and he said, hey, I want you. We've kind of talked about it. The elders have kind of talked about it. We've prayed about it. And I was wondering if you wanted to be in on the spiritual health team of the church. And I was like, whoa, that's kind of an honor. You know, I was humbling. And I was like, absolutely. You know, I would love to be a part of that. And at the beginning of the text, it said this. It said, do you want to be on the health team? And I didn't read the rest of it. And I know Pastor Andy. He likes to run 10, 12 miles a day, sometimes 26 miles in a marathon. And I'm like, no, I don't want any part of being on a health team with Pastor Andy. But that wasn't it. I got to reading through it, and it said spiritual health team, and I was like, oh, maybe he was telling me something. You look like you need to run, man, instead of eat. And I'm going to quit feeding us at church all the time. No, so I got with him. We've prayed about it. I pray for our team daily, or try to anyway, when the Lord reminds me. And I just praise God that I am being able to be a part of this church. And to kick off this series about discipleship and starting out with the intimacy of God, because that's where it starts, right? That's where it starts in our relationship. My wife and I would not have survived, and I say survive, 25 years if she and I didn't have an intimate relationship, if we didn't know each other, we didn't spend time with each other. And sometimes we just get to drink coffee on the couch sometimes because we're so busy. But you know what? It's that quality of time that we spend together, amen, that brings that strongness in the relationship. And that's what I want to touch on this morning. The title of the message, I don't know if we have it, but the title of the message is Leaning Into God, Quality versus Quantity. I always like to put a title on a message because it gives you a focal point. Leaning into God, quality versus quantity. If you have your Bibles, our text that we're going to be reading from should be up on the screen. No, it's James chapter 4. James chapter 4, sorry. That's the main text, James chapter 4. That's okay. That's okay. If you have your Bibles or your phones or whatever, please turn there with me to James chapter 4, and we'll start with verse 6. Since I am a preacher who likes energy, if you could tell, I'm a preacher who likes, I do like exercise, so I'd like for everybody to stand for the reading of God's Word this morning, if that's okay. And then you could sit back down. But in James chapter 4, as we begin reading verse 6, and I'm reading from the King James, it says, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resist the proud, but give grace unto the humble. Submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you, and cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the reading of your word. Lord, I pray that every ear that is here, and every heart that is here, and every mind that is here, will focus on your words, Father. Let my words be few, and your words be many. Lord, bless the rest of this service, we pray, and all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Look to your neighbor and say, hey, it's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen, amen. So as we get into this series, and Pastor Andy and I talked Monday, and we prayed over this, and I just kind of wanted to know, you know, you're the shepherd of the flock, you're the pastor. You know, I want to come in, and I want to, you know, move us in the direction that you feel the Lord's leading us. And so we talked about it, and he had given me a book called Sacred Pathways by Gary Thomas. and it was in his library, and I'm still reading it. I haven't had a chance to read the whole thing through, but I've read the important parts of it, and what it talks about, the different ways to the Lord. We all know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus, right? But we all have different personalities. We all are at different stages in life in the church. And we're all the body of Christ. Christ is the head, and we're the body, right? But some of us are feet, some of us are hands, some of us are ears, some of us are, you know, we all have different jobs in the kingdom. Okay, as we move forward as a church, we're trying to discover ways to empower leadership, to bring that part in that survey of leadership up to everything else, you know, be straight across the board. And, you know, empowering leaders, how do you empower leaders? How do you become empowered? Well, first of all, you got to know. You know, there's scripture, and I think it's Psalm 90:10, I think. It says, be still. I might be wrong. I might be off that. But it says in Psalms that, be still and know that I am God. And you have to be still. How many knows here that we live in a very busy world, right? There's so many things going on around us. And sometimes we just got to stop and take a deep breath and say, all right, Lord, you got to speak to me because I don't know where I'm at. I don't know what I'm doing. And as a church body, we've got to stop sometimes and say, all right, Lord, what direction do you want this church to go in? And I know Pastor Andy and I have talked, and he's diligently praying and seeking, and Lord, where do you want us to go? What direction do you want us to go in? And you know, it all starts with your intimacy with the Lord. And what does that look like? And as we navigate through this morning, we're going to talk a little bit about ways that you can you can discover God. Okay? But first of all, you must be humble. And as James, God gave me this scripture about James, about he gives grace to the what? Everybody say humble. Okay? You can't walk around acting like you know it all. You know, you can't do that. Because once you think you know it all, you find out you don't. Amen? And when we humble ourselves before the Lord, God will give us His grace. And He will give us His wisdom. And He will give us His Holy Spirit and show us the direction He wants us to go in. Amen? Just like this morning, I had a plan to do a video. That was not what God intended. He wanted that testimony to be brought forth. Because He wanted to remind us, I am still a miracle God. Amen? I still am working, no matter what the media tells you, no matter what the world is telling you, no matter what's going on outside the walls of these four church, the walls of this church, we know that there's chaos outside. But we know that in a relationship with God, there's peace and there's order. But you got to be humble enough to say, all right, Lord, I can't do this on my own. And you know, as I was talking with Pastor Andy, and we were sitting in his office and we were praying, and I was sitting there in the chair, and I looked and I said, you know, I have been honored and I have been blessed to come to the Lord at a very young age. I was 15 years old when I gave my heart to the Lord. And I look at my family, and you know, they laugh at me, and I got people laugh at me all the time. I cried at my wedding, and Carolyn laughed. Imagine that. But I'm very emotional. I'm very sentimental because the Spirit of God's in my life. And I've experienced, and some of you guys attest, I've experienced some darkness in my life before. I've been in the deepest valleys. But you know what? I've also been on the mountaintop as well. And there's been more mountaintop experiences with my relationship with God than there has been valleys. But I know when I've gone through the valleys, God was preparing me for such a time as this. But I would never know that if I didn't have an intimate relationship with the Lord. So as I'm sitting in and I'm talking to Pastor Andy this week, and we're sitting there, and I tell him, I said, you know, I've been around, you know, I've had the experience to preach I cannot believe this, but 27 years, I've been able to preach the Word of God in some form. I've had opportunities, and I'm not bragging on myself. I'm bragging on what the Lord has done in my life. And as I sat there in the chair and I said, I can tell when people are listening and when they're not. So I'm putting you on the spot. And I'm not picking on you, but I'm getting ready to use this analogy. But when people, not all the time, but when people, you could tell when people's arms are crossed or they're looking down or they're not, playing on their phone. My wife gets on to me all the time. We're sitting on the couch and I'm thumbing through my phone. She, are you listening? Yes, yes, I'm listening. And then she tests me later and I fail. But, amen. But as I'm sitting there and I tell Andy, I said, you can tell when people are really intently listening. Because what happens is they lean in. Come on. I know that when we lean into God, He's going to lean into us. Amen? You see, it's very powerful. Body language is very powerful. And if I'm sitting up here and I'm like this, and I'm just, I'm preaching to you, and I'm just looking up, and I'm just really not eye contact with you, you're not going to think I'm being serious. You're not going to think I really care. And then when I look out there and maybe see some of you guys, I need to shift gears because you're falling asleep on me. It's all about leaning into God. How serious are you about leaning into God? He said, if you lean into me, I'll lean into you. Amen? I don't know about you, but I'd like to lean into God this morning. Amen? And as a church, that's how you develop leadership. Is you lean into the Holy Spirit and you let Him lead you. But you got to humble yourself. You got to say, all right, Lord, I can't do this. I can't do this on my own. What happens when you lean into God? Well, when you lean into God, you resist the devil. Well, He says, you draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to you. Resist the devil, and what will the devil do? Why? Because he can't be in the presence of God. So if you are walking with the Lord in an intimate relationship and His Holy Spirit is directing you, when you walk into a place, you're bringing the light and the darkness has to flee. I started at Toyota and I got one of my... I'm going to call you out, James. I'm glad you're here. He's new. And, come in, he's between churches. So welcome him. I know you guys are, I tell you, number one thing on the survey was loving relationships. And that's why my family and I are here. We've been here for about 6 months. And we just love this church because of you guys are welcoming and you're loving and you're caring. And James was a group leader of mine. And we've had some talks and we've had some good times. And there's been a couple times he's got on to me. I take it, that's a part of, the order of operation, And there's nothing wrong with that. But when I started at Toyota, the Lord told me, He said, there's a dark cloud over Toyota. And the enemy is in there, tormenting, just like he is anywhere else. But, He said, I want you to go into your place of work. My first day I was at Toyota, 2016. It was like January 8th, 2016. And he said, I want you to change the atmosphere. And I'd like to think the Lord has helped me do that at work. I've met some really good people. But I know that when we draw nigh to God, the darkness has to flee out of our lives. Doesn't mean you're not going to run into valleys, you're going to run into problems. I mean, you read all through the Bible, all the prophets of old, King David, man, he had to face a giant, right? He went in and faced a giant, but why? How did he make it through? He remembered in his mind the covenant that God had made with him that he was going to be king. And when he walked into battle against the Goliath, 9 foot, 6 inch Goliath, he looked at him and said, man, you're going to have a bad day today. He walked in with confidence, knowing that God had made a covenant with him. And he's made a covenant with us. But how do we remember that covenant? James 1:8. In James 1:8, we look at the scripture up on the screen. It says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. What does that mean? What does that mean? That means that you can't have one foot in the world and one foot in a relationship with God. It's just not going to work. You can't be dabbling with things in the world and expect God to bless you in this area over here. Now, this is a challenging message, but you know what? We're starting to move forward as a church in discipleship and this in intimacy with the Lord, and you have to be challenged in order to grow. Amen? I'm challenged every day at work. Why? Because I got to grow as a leader. I got to grow as an employee. And if I'm not willing to humble myself and take the bumps and take the bruises and take the stress and just give it back over to the Lord, then I'm never going to grow, right? If I always want to do it my way, I'm never going to grow. You know, in Toyota, and I'm going to use this as an example. At Toyota, they have what we call, the Japanese call Kaizen, which is called continuous improvement. Am I right? Continuous improvement. God calls us to Kaizen every day to continue to improve in our relationship with Him. And you can't jump ahead of God. You know, just like at work, we got 8 steps. We got what we call a quality circle at work. It's an 8-step thing, and you have to go through these 8 steps. But you can't jump ahead of that step. James taught me that. You can't jump ahead of that step and expect it to work out. Just like you can't jump ahead of God and expect His plan to go right. You can't have two minds. You can't have your plan and God's plan. It's not going to work. Trust me, I know. I've tried it my way. It doesn't work. Amen? You believe that? Say amen. You know that for a fact. If you've been a Christian for any amount of time, you know that you can't do it your way and God's way. Because He'll shut you down every time if you're really wanting to do and be obedient to the Lord. So how do you get past this double-mindedness? Mind over matter. When you put your mind, you get your mind and perspective on God, nothing else is going to matter. Amen? It's not going to matter. Oh, I'll give you an example. And this is another work example. We've just started launching a new vehicle called the Grand Highlander. I'm not selling it. I'm not telling you to go out and buy it. I'm not the salesperson. I just deliver parts and they build them. But we launched it about 2 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago. And the thing is, I was in an area as a team leader, and we supply parts to both East Plant and West Plant. When both plants get the parts from this area. So I'm team leader that week in rotation, and I'm over there. And we have what we call a team that's called a pilot team, and they tell us, you know, exactly how the process is going to work, and they write it out, and you follow these directions. Nobody in pilot knew what was going on in that area. I'm the team lead. I've got like 6-7 guys over there asking me all these questions, and I have no answers to. So we had to figure it out. And the first 3 days of that launch was horrible. Was absolutely horrible. And I got a bad attitude. I got such a bad attitude. Have you ever got such a bad attitude you were just ready to throw the towel in and leave? We've all been there, right? So I'm sitting there and I go to my group leader. And this is Thursday morning. I work nights. I go to my group leader Thursday morning. And I said, you know what? I'm just about ready to turn in my team leader stripe. I said, because I feel like I've been thrown in a deep end of a swimming pool with concrete blocks and nobody's there to help me get out. I felt like I was drowning. And I was overwhelmed. And I had such a bad attitude. And I got up Thursday afternoon. I was going to start getting ready for work. And I always start reading the Word. And I always start getting into some prayer time with the Lord. And the Lord speaks to me and says, and you know how God speaks in that small voice, you know, through reading of the Word. And through the Holy Spirit, and he shows me, you've had a pretty bad attitude the last 2-3 days. That's why nothing's working out. And you know what? I was like, you're right. I was double-minded. I was wanting to do it my way, thinking I could take on the world. And you can't do that without God. So God says, this is what I want you to do. When you get to work, I want you to apologize to your boss. I want you to apologize to your team members. Tell them you've had a bad attitude, and let's go move forward. You lean into me. And you know what? So I did. I leaned into God, and I got to work, and I had a good attitude. I went to my group leader, and I said, "Hey, I'm sorry. I've been out of sorts the last 3 days. I'm sorry." And he goes, "No problem. We get it. We're all stressed." Went to called a team meeting, talked to all my team members, said, "Hey, I apologize to each and every one of them." I got like eye to eye with them, and I said, "I am sorry. I've been out of sorts. I've had a bad attitude all week, and that's why things are not working out." And they all kind of looked at me and was like, "Well, we really couldn't tell." I was like, "Wow, okay, maybe God was like putting up a shield. Nobody could see my bad attitude, but I knew I had a bad attitude because I was ready to quit." And I went over, and this area is kind of a circle area, okay, where I work. And we got what we call these little tuggers, tow motors that pull dollies and parts on the back, and we drive them around. So the Lord tells me this, and some of you guys will appreciate this. The Lord says, "I want you to drive around that area 7 times. You know where I'm going with this. I want you to drive around that area 7 times. I want you to pray 7 times around that area." Okay. So I'm driving around. About the 4th time, people were like, "What is wrong with Sean? He just keeps driving around, you know?" And the 7th time, I felt this peace, and I felt like the walls of oppression just kind of crumbled. And the rest of the night, this was at the beginning of the shift, the rest of the night, everything ran smooth. Now, we had a little hiccups here and there, but nothing like the 3 days before. And I mean, even the people in process was saying, "There's something different over here." Like, they didn't know what I did. And they were like, they could tell there was a difference in the atmosphere. Everything was running smoother and everything was running better. And that's what the Lord spoke to me. He says, "When you lean into me, I'm going to take care of your situations. But when you're doubly minded and you're trying to do it your way, it's not going to work. You're going to fight. You're going to fight it." Same thing. I did the same thing Friday. I think this is going to be a routine for me now on. I should have done that from the beginning. And God says, "You always should come to me at the beginning." I learned a lesson. If you get your mind on Him, it's not going to matter. If you keep your mind on the things of God, then the things of this world will not matter. So how can we do this? Well, I'm going to share with you. We all know what happened in 2020. The world was going crazy. Pandemic was hitting. We didn't know what, you know, the media was telling you, "Oh, we're going to die. You're all going to die." And some people were buying into that. And yes, there were people getting sick. And yes, things were happening. I had some friends that passed away. And you probably have known people as well. So I'm not dismissing that. But you know, the Lord said this. He said, "Don't focus on that. Focus on me." I was getting so out of sorts, I had a bad attitude, and my wife was calling me out on it. Because see, I've been on Facebook since 2014. And the Lord, I've been doing devotions on Facebook. Some of you guys have read some of my devotions. I see you hit like. Some of you probably read it and didn't hit like, and that's fine. I don't do it every day, but I usually, if the Lord lays something on my heart, I do it. And I started that back when I was in the coal mine, and it was touching people, and people were telling me to keep doing it. So I did it. Well, also during that time, I was getting mad at all the things that were going on. How many of you's ever gone down rabbit holes before? You know, you go down a rabbit hole and you start reading what the media is saying. You start reading what this person's saying. And you're like, "Oh yeah, you know, look at what they're all, you know, everybody's behind this." And I was mad, and I had a bad attitude. And Carolyn would tell me, she said, "Me and the kids are so ready for you to go to work at night because you had such a bad attitude." And it really was affecting my family. And we even had a talk about it. And she was like, "You know what? I'm about ready to kick you out. Pack your bags, get out. I don't need negative Nelly here all the time." And she was right. And she will say, "If you just say that from the beginning, we'll be okay. I'm right." But she was right. And I remember one day, and I'm going to use this example. I remember one day I had done a devotion, And then I had posted something about Dr. Fauci later on, and it was a negative comment. I was so mad. And she called me out on it. And I got even more mad. I was like, you never. And I called one of my friends, one of my pastor friends I went to college with, and I said, you won't believe what Carolyn said. You just won't believe. She was what I think. I call her a troll, and I did. I called her a troll, a Facebook troll. You can't ever say anything. You can't ever comment and make nice comments on my Facebook post. You've got to troll me and then find out the negative and then call me out on it. Yeah, people like that. I mean, seriously. And that's why. And I was like, yeah. I didn't say that to her though. I promise you that. I wouldn't be standing here right now. But I told her, this is the first she's heard of this. But I told my friend that, and I said, you know, she just said that I need to stop doing Facebook devotions. I need to get off Facebook. But I know God's called me to that. And then the Lord spoke to me, and he said, I never called you to do the Facebook devotions. And then as I was venting to my friend about it, I said, you know, she's saying I spend more time on Facebook than I do with her, and the Lord said, yeah, you spend more time on Facebook doing your devotions instead of spending time with me. Then it resonated. I was like, oh, okay. Wow, I'm doubly minded here. And you see how the devil will twist that, right? He makes you think you're doing God's work when really he's just making you do God's work to get you distracted on what you need to be doing, right? Come on. He doesn't call us to everything. God doesn't call us to everything. He calls us to specific jobs in the kingdom. And when we find our specific jobs in the kingdom, that's when we're empowered in leadership. Amen? That's when we move from being a Christian to actually being a disciple of the King. Hallelujah. So how do you get into that? Well, we took a trip a couple weeks after that happened. I'm going to wrap it up here shortly. But we took a trip to the Creation Museum. How many of you have been to a Creation Museum before? So you know what it's like. So as you walk into the Creation Museum, it's the garden. And it goes from creation to the cross, right? Every room dealing with the creation. And as you walk in, it's the garden. And as you're standing there in the garden, Carolyn and the kids go before me, and I know I've been there before, so I knew what the next room, and I'm not spoiling, I'm trying not to spoil it for you guys that's not been there, but you need to go if you haven't, it's awesome. But the next room is the fall. It's when Satan deceived Adam and Eve. And the kids are going on, and the Spirit just, you know, have you ever just stopped and been like, okay, the presence of God is so heavy, you can't move, right? You've ever experienced that before. It's amazing. I just stopped. And Carolyn said, are you coming? And this was a turning point in my life at that moment, spiritually, during that time. I said, no. I said, I know what's through that door. I said, give me a moment because I want to stay in the garden. And the Lord spoke to me and said, Sean, you never have to leave the garden. My children never have to leave the garden. I've given you a way to come back in the garden. You never have to leave. You can go in and out as much as you want, but you never have to leave. You can stay right here. And he said, that's what I want for you. I want you to stay in the garden. And I said, Lord, how do I stay in the garden? How do I stay in your presence? How do I lean into you, Lord? And forget the chaos in this world. He said, I'm going to tell you something. This is what I want you to do. He said, when you get home, he said, I want you to put down all social media. I want you to turn your television off. Hey, these are tools for the church here. So jot this down. Turn your television off. Turn your social media off. Turn all the distractions off. And lean into God. Sit down and say, all right, Lord, I'm here. What do you want from me? What do you want me to do? How can I be used? That's what he wants, that intimate relationship. And he told me, Sean, this is what I want you to do. He said, when you get home, you put all your social media down. I was off Facebook, fasted off Facebook for a year. Man, you want to talk about feeling great. I didn't know if the world was coming to an end or not, and I really didn't care. Because I was so focused and my perspective was so on God that the problems of this world decreased. And I concentrated on spending time with the Lord. And he said, I want you to write down a word that I give you, and I want you to start doing word studies. So church, this is what I challenge you. Start doing word studies. The first word that came to me was scripture on mind. And he said, when I give you a word, I want you to write down every scripture, every reference that references that word. I want you to write it down. I want you to pray over it. I want you to meditate on it. I want you to think about it. And he said, I want you to do this. By the end of the year, I had filled an entire notebook full of scripture. I've written all the way through Colossians. I've written the entire book of Colossians on notebook paper. And it's something, not typing, it's something about actually manually using a pen and writing it down that it will stick with you. Right? So I did that for a year. And the first thing that God showed me, he sent me to this scripture, Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. It says this. It says, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord God with all your heart. Everybody say heart. With all your soul. Everybody soul. And with all your what? Mind. Whoa. Wait a minute. What, Lord? I mean, you can look at the other like gospels, and it's not in this order. It's not like this. It doesn't say this. But in Matthew, it says, love God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. So I never noticed this before. I said, Lord, why did Jesus say mind last? And this is what the Lord spoke to me. He said, because I have everybody's heart and soul, but I don't have everybody's mind. Church, when you get your mind on God, you start realizing who you are in Christ. Wait a minute. I'm going to say it one more time. Maybe I'll get a response. When you get your mind on Christ, then you realize who you are in Christ. If you believe that, say amen. That's where we need to be as a church. As we move forward in discipleship, as we move forward in growing as a church, empowering leaders, we need to focus on the intimacy of God and knowing who we are. God said, you know, I've got a lot of people's heart and soul. He said, but everybody's distracted in their mind. So how do you navigate through that? How do you do that? Well, this is the next verse of Scripture, Romans 12, 1 and 2. And I'm about to close it here in a second. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, to present your bodies, or by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, it's holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed by the world, but be transformed by what? The renewing of your what? Mind. Why is that? Well, let's look at the rest of that. That you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How many here wants to know the will of God for your life? Right? You want to know, what are you doing with me, Lord? What are you wanting to do with me? He says, first of all, I'm wanting to kaizen you. I'm wanting to continually improve you. I'm wanting to continually make you into my image. I'm continually wanting you to be like Christ. I continually want you to have the mind of Christ. How do you do that? You stay in the Word of God. And I'm telling you, as I navigated, as we all tried to navigate through the last 3 years and things changing and not being in the norm, we have to stay focused. And he told me this, the Lord showed me in Isaiah 26:3, this is the last verse I want to give you guys. It says, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Why? Because he trusts in thee. What did Peter do when he got out of the boat? He was walking on the water, right? What happened when he took his eyes off Jesus? he had a double mind. He started seeing all the things and chaos and the storms going on around him, and he started to sink. Church, we have to lean into God. We have to have that intimate relationship. I would not know my wife if I didn't have an intimate relationship with her. If I didn't sit and talk to her and lean into her in our conversations, I wouldn't know the person that I'm trying to have a relationship with if I didn't spend time with them, right? Oh, you know, we check our boxes. I read my Bible this morning, preacher. I'm good. I'm good for at least 3 days. Or I said a prayer. I talked to the Lord this morning, and we're good. We'll be all right till next Sunday. And then what happens? You get caught up in the world's chaos. And then you start getting negative because you're focusing on the problem instead of focusing on God. Amen? When you do this, you will receive joy. The one thing, Psalm 51:12, I know I said that was the last verse, but I got one more and this is it. I promise. Psalm 51:12. I realize this. And King David realized this in the Psalms. All the things that were going on in his life. And he said, Lord, please incline your ear to me. And that's what the Lord showed me, that I had lost the joy of my salvation because I was focusing on the things of the world. In Psalm 51:12, it says, restore unto me the joy of my salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. Church, the Holy Spirit wants to move new hope into a direction of building His kingdom. And I believe that you guys are, you know, the short amount of time that my family and I have been here, we've seen the humbleness of this church, of loving others and welcoming and all the other things. But the one thing that we got to understand is there's power that God wants to give us to bring this church to the next level. And it starts with not focusing on the world, but focusing on the Lord. Amen? We all have different ways. I'm gonna challenge you this week. And I'm getting ready to close with this. We all have ways to keep our mind on God and have intimacy with God. You know, Jesus went to the garden before the cross. Before he went to the cross, he went to the Garden of Gethsemane. And what did he do? He spent time with the Father. He prayed. And he said, Lord, even Jesus was like, this is going to be tough. You might be facing something today that's so overwhelming. You're like, Lord, this is tough. My wife and I, over the 25 years of marriage, we experienced 15 different miscarriages. And we were told by man that we couldn't have kids. Man makes plans and what? God laughs. We've got 4 beautiful, anointed children of God. And that's the Lord. But during those dark moments, and I mean they were dark, and I can recall some of them. Oh, Carolyn knows every dark moment she had with that because it was her body. I couldn't relate to her in that way. But you know what? God said, keep your mind on me. If you keep your mind on me, you'll stay at perfect, perfect peace. And I will move you into the blessings that I have for you. I don't know about you, church, but I'd like to see this church move into the greater blessings of the Lord. Amen? So here's some of the things. We all come from different ways of life. We're all different and diverse and different personalities. There is only one way to the Father. There is only one way back into the garden, and that's Jesus. But what is your garden? What is your pathway to get back in the garden? And as I was reading through that book, Sacred Pathways, I'm going to share some of the things that maybe we as individuals, it could help you. Some like nature. How many here likes nature? Going for a walk. Pastor Andy likes to run. Whew. Okay, whatever. If that's how you get in the presence of the Lord, great. I'm going to sit here and eat my pizza and watch TV and enjoy the Lord. No. But we all have different ways through nature. I like camping. I like being out in the woods. I like, you know, we got a campfire ring in a front, you know, in front of our house, and we like to sit out there and campfires, and we don't do it as much as we should and what we like to do. But when we do, we know the presence of the Lord shows up. Some of you like God, you know, you experience God through senses. I know I used to, you know, go home to my grandma, and I remember growing up, she was always canning during the summer. I was snapping green beans, shucking corn, you know, all those good smells during the summertime. And then at Christmas time, the Christmas smells. How many of you likes Christmas? You know, you love those smells in the kitchen. My wife always loves to cook during Christmas, and I mean, the whole counter is full of cookies. You know, that's probably why I'm where I'm at today. But it's things like that that brings you back, right? And sometimes God can be in those moments. Through tradition, maybe you like coming to church and traditionally going to certain services and being a part of it and all that is tradition, and the things that you do at Christmas time or other times, tradition, you find God through tradition. Some of us really find God through acts of service, right? We find God through acts of service. Some find it through song and worship. You know, and we're all created to worship and sing. Some find it through reading books. How many of you like to read? You like to read, you know, and write. And that's what I do. I do a lot of reading. I do a lot of writing. And, you know, sometimes, you know, Carolyn's like, why do you get up so early? Sometimes I get up at 4:30, 5 o'clock on weekends, and I'm at the dining room table. And I'm like, I get up because it's quiet. I get up because everybody else is asleep and there's no chaos. And I can sit and spend time. And there's been times that I find myself spending 3 or 4 hours and not even realizing it because I crave it. And sometimes you get to the point where you just, have you ever craved somebody's presence? You ever craved being in a situation? You're like, oh, I just can't wait. And we've got to get there as a church where we can't wait to get into the presence of God. Amen? So I challenge you this week. You know, I used to be a youth pastor, and I end with this. I used to be a youth pastor years ago, and when I first started, we had 11 kids in the group. And this has nothing to do with me. This is not me at all. This is totally God. God did this, not Sean Wallace, not Carolyn. The only thing is God blessed our obedience. Okay? But we started out with 11 kids, and the Lord told me this. He said, I want you to build quality into the lives of those kids. And he said, the quantity will come. Build quality and the quantity will come. Within 2.5 years, we had 125 kids in our youth group. That's the Lord. Averaging 84 on a Sunday night. Averaging on a Sunday night, 84 kids. That's the Lord. And that's the power of obedience. And that's the empowerment of obedience. So this, I challenge my kids, and I'm going to challenge you. This is it. And I'm going to have the worship team come up. And you can start coming up. I challenged my kids in youth group. I said, what is, you know, God calls us to give a tenth, right? That's a tenth. In the scripture, it talks about tenth. Well, what's a tenth of a 24-hour period? Anybody mathematicians? Yeah. It's like 2.4. If you round it up, it's 2.5, right? You know, 2.5 hours of the day. That seems like a lot in one setting. Wow, I spend time with God for 2.5 hours in one setting? No. I said, what if you did this? What if you spent time with God while you're getting ready to go to work? You're talking to the Lord, thinking about a Bible verse. Or you're on your way to work. I got a brother here. We talk every day on the way to work, and we pray. Every day. And my drive is about 40 miles. So, hey, you know, all that time, I'm talking about the Lord. What if you did that? 2.5 hours a day over a course of the day, it's not a lot. What if you did that? Just little by little by little, and the next thing you know, you start craving it. And you start wanting to lean into God. So church, you might already be doing that. And if you are, that's awesome. And that explains a lot about this church and why we're where we're at as a church. Because I see smiling faces, I see discipline, I see, you know, people who are disciples and loving people. I see that in this church. And maybe you're doing that. But do more. Spend more time with the Lord. Because the more time you spend with Him, the more this world is going to fade away. And the more people we're going to reach for the kingdom. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. God bless you guys. I hope the Lord blessed you with this message. I hope He challenged you with this message. And I'm sure that I'm very long-winded. But I wanted to kick this series off in a challenge to spend quality time with the Lord. It doesn't matter how much time you spend with Him. It's what you do when you're spending time.